right. Welcome back to another episode of Just Kicking It. We are back with a triumphant return. Man, dude, you know, I'm on my Mary J. Blige. I'll be playing that a little bit later. You know, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's jump into the mailbag real quick. First email comes from Rodney Thomas. He says, y'all boys wilding on this show. Y'all had me bugging up with the comparisons you all give to teams and the way you all rock it. I'm not even really into soccer that much, but if I had to choose a team, how would I go about choosing a team? Similar to, we had an email before about this. I'm a dude from Brooklyn, but I live in North Carolina. What will my allegiances kind of be with? I'm a Knicks fan. I'm also a Syracuse fan, go my Q's, and as well as, but on top of it, funny enough, I'm a Mets fan as well, as you can see. But what would you all pick, and how would you all pick being a brother from Brooklyn and North Carolina to pick a squad?
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely thanks for the email. Yeah. Definitely appreciate you you tuning in. Yeah, we have had this one before, man. I think my same answer kind of applies. But I'll throw a twist on it, you know, considering Syracuse, you know, New York, Brooklyn, being a Mets fan. To me, that kind of shows that you have a certain amount of love and respect for a team that's trying to build something, you know, that's starting in a mid-lower tier and is willing to try to put their hands around something, have a special year, have some dominoes fall their way. I would say find a Premier League team or, you know, a club around the world in general where you like the story, the organization, you know, what they got going on. You know, some of these teams are big cash spenders and, you know, take no prisoner mercenary approach to try to win trophies. You got other teams that are, you know, on a youth movement, you know, starting from the inside and building out and, you know, developing talent, selling it off to make money and, you know, grow their clubs that way. And a lot of different things happening in between where, you know, you get a splash in the pan kind of year. Mm-hmm. You look at like an Everton, you know, they've been around forever, long history, you know, been that bottom lower tier for a long time now. Now, just this season, they've splashed some cash and brought in some top level talent. You know, your James Rodriguez, you know, pulling the strings in that midfield.
And then you have Cliver coming up. They got Cliver that's kind of, they've grown him and nurtured him up.
Big time coach and, you know, Ancelotti coming in as, you know, won things all over the world. So they really splashing the cash and trying to chase down a trophy this year. So, you know, find that storyline and that kind of club that has, you know, that maybe that same sort of pulse as Syracuse, as a Mets, you know, as that gritty Brooklyn type, you know, background. And maybe that's how you find your soccer club.
I mean, if since you're a Knicks fan, you might as well maybe come over to Manchester United. We looking if you're a Knicks fan, I'm just saying at this point. At this point, you know. I mean, even though Jim Dolan's run this organization, we'd have to be a couple more. We have to do a decade more of this before we get to that level of the Knicks. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's another good point, D. You got a lot of different owners of different football clubs who are, you know, complete racists, you know, womanizers. You know, terrible businessmen. So, you know, just pick a club like Newcastle United, running the club right into the ground. the fans have begged the owner for at least 7 years to sell the club. He refuses to sell it.
Like Jim Dolan.
He's adamant to drive it straight into the ground. You know what I mean?
Because Newcastle is about a good hour and a half from London, right?
Exactly. Yep. It's on that eastern coastal side.
Yeah.
You know, it's blue collar, you know, kind of like Detroit type weather. You know what I mean? And their ownership is absolutely terrible. So maybe that's the club, you know, can definitely relate to the Knicks.
All right. Next one comes from Alexi. With the Champions League draw coming out, I'm not talking about the Champions League. I know you probably will be talking about next episode. But how do you all like the way that the groups are drawn? I mean, I get the concept of it. I mean, I guess it's somewhat fair, but I kind of would like it if it was straight up, like, seated straight up. Like, Bayern, you're in Group A because you won the whole thing. Boom. The best second-rated team, they go, you know, if you were second place in your conference or, you know, in your league, you'll be slated against maybe Bayern and their group. And maybe if you want a lower league, you're that third seed. And I guess it gets some drama to it, like the NCAA tournament selection. But if it, that would be my only thing. I would wonder if it would be need to be like that. Cause I don't like the, you're seated by what you did the last 5 years. Cause okay. Like if somebody like a Leipzig, they shouldn't have been in a third tier in the seeding process. Them cats just went to the semifinals. Why are they in a third pot? There's be no way they should be in the third pot.
Yeah, I see your point there. And that's an interesting idea. I mean, I guess I'm just accustomed to the tradition. You know, and I guess in my mind, it's just tradition. You know what I mean?
Like Manchester United should not be in a second, or maybe in a lower tier of a second pot. We haven't done anything on a level to say, like, you're in a second tier. It's just that we got 5 years of – we've done well generally over 5 years, not that the current team. I feel like the current team should be seeded, not what you've done over 5 years.
Yeah, I could see why. But, I mean, you know, again – tradition is tradition, but
yeah. Or if you get points, let's say you make it, you know, you got made to the semifinals of the Polka League. I mean, the Polka for the Bundesliga, you get 3 points for that. You win your league, you get 5 points, and then you just kind of you came in third in your league, and your league is this high level at this level. Then you should, and you know, make it tiered where, and then like, okay, well, this team has 17 points, they're the number one seed, and then just kind of break it from there.
Break it down from there.
Yeah, and if it's a tie, you can go into a 5-year thing. If two teams have 14 points from that, then you can go into a – and then you would make the – to me, then you would make the cups a little bit more spicier because it's like, okay, well, I need to at least get to the quarterfinals to get my points for when I make Champions League. Like, Liverpool will be losing points.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because they didn't really – they didn't get far, so you're not, you know –
Yeah, no. Definitely all good points, and I mean, makes a lot of sense. But it's almost like baseball is tradition.
Yeah,
you arguing against tradition.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
I mean, but baseball, I mean, they've been breaking tradition out the playoffs. We got a 15-man tournament this year for baseball.
Yeah, I mean that's real too. I mean, even this last, you know, Premier League, you know, season, basically all European, you know, football was a different format than normal. But the Champions League, like, yeah, you don't want to change that, though.
All right. Last question comes from Luis. He says, do you all think that the Premier League should get more than 4 teams into the Champions League?
Oh.
I kind of feel like it should be that maybe a fifth place team, but make them go into qualifying. Where they got to kind of that fifth place team got to fight, just like the seventh place team in the league for Europa.
Right.
They got it. Like Spurs had to fight their way through to get into Europa.
You earn your way in. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I think definitely everybody agrees that you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. Yeah, I think everybody agrees that the Premier League probably has the best talent and, you know, is going to bring more eyes than probably some other clubs. But, yeah, that would be interesting, you know, format where you can fight your way in. But I think you can't really give an additional advantage to the Premier League. They already have so many advantages. Giving more teams, I think, is unfair.
Well, I mean, even for other leagues, because did you see – I don't know if you remember the article we never talked about on here, but where they're going to be having another league below the Europa now.
No, so it's going to hear about that.
Yeah, so it's going to be like – I forgot what it's going to be called, but it's going to be another league below the Europa. So, like, if you come in third place in Europa, you drop down to the other league. It's going to be basically 3 tiers of league. And they're going to open up more spots in the Champions, but it's not for top leagues. It's for your Scottish leagues, your other leagues to get one team into – instead of going to Europa, they'll go to Champions League.
And then who's ranking – the 3 divisions to begin with, though,
it's going to be basically if you came in the 4th in the Turkish league, and you know you would go into that other league, and you still they make it going to try and get more money.
Okay, and expand it overall, make it
right. And so if you can drop down, you can drop down to this other league if you don't qualify through the Europa. So like you know, the 3rd place team in Champions goes down to Europa. It'd be the same process from Europa down to this other 3rd league. So if you come in 3rd place in Europa in your group, you drop down to this other league.
That's interesting. Yeah, I need to read that one because I hadn't heard that.
I thought I sent you the article on it. They're supposed to kick off 2022.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Yeah, so it's going – and this is more money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, more games to watch. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean – I hope it don't be a team you'd be like, dang, Real Madrid down in the toilet bowl league. They didn't fell off.
Yeah, they playing like Motherwell in the
Again. Yeah. All right, man. Let's go and jump in our topics, man. My Manchester United, man.
Wow.
Let's go and get it right into it, man.
Wow. I don't know where to start, man. I don't know if I really just want to come out on the attack and told you so many times. It's incredible, man, what's happening. Such a great story club, man. I guess you have to put that past tense. Used to be such a great club, man. It's so funny. I was just thinking about it. Like, Manchester United and Liverpool have really flipped. It's like
100%.
They're going to go on a 5-10-year run with what they're doing, always finishing in the top four. If they don't win it, I could easily see that happening, where you guys are going to start dropping down into the mid-tier and almost become just a shell of your former self, man. And it'll be like, we'll talk about like the 90s Cowboy teams. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's a possibility.
90 Bulls, you know?
Yeah, it's a possibility, man. I want to first off, I got something for all my other Manchester United fans. We're going through it, y'all, you know, and this is how I'm starting this whole segment. We just want to play. We're not going to cry no more, man. We're not going to cry no more. We can't do it no more. We're not going to cry no more like Mary J, y'all. We can't do this no more, y'all. We can't.
That's absolutely shameful, man.
Well, we can't cry. It's no point in crying no more, man. You know, we just have to, you know, buckle up and hope for a prayer, you know, at this point. It's all what ifs with the squad. We signed Cavani, who was somebody we could have signed at any time we felt like, because you can. Yeah. He was sitting at the crib. He was like Joe Horn. Remember, Joe Horn was driving trucks before he got picked up from the Saints. Yeah. That's what he was doing. I mean, he was at the crib.
Wow.
He played since March.
Wow.
Like, he was at the crib. It was a free joint, and we giving him a number 7. Like,
that's big.
Like, a 33-year-old dude. I mean, yes, it's a 2-year contract. I get it. Agallo's gone in January. I'm fine with you signing.
Pretty big money too.
They signed for some paper. Yeah, and they come out with this bullshit article in the Manchester News saying that they didn't want to sign Jadon because it was going to cost us 280 euros over time. And I'm like, but you signed Cavani for all this paper, you know. I like the pickup of the kid from Atalanta. I can't remember his name now. Turari. Yeah. I think is he related to the one from Adama from
I don't think so. That's a pretty popular African name, like Smith Johnson.
We got him, and we picked up this 18-year-old gunner. I forgot his name, Cervani, I think, or something like that. That's supposed to be a nice pickup, you know. But it's like
prospects.
Those
are definitely prospects,
right? You're thinking ahead.
Let me translate this, you know.
For the layman's out there.
So you got a guy that is an old man, 33, in the twilight. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been a hell of a player over his career, I'll give you that.
But he's been hurt for like 2 years.
And he was sitting at home, but he is in excellent shape. I even saw a video of him doing some ballet. So he's ready
to
go.
He was at the crib driving trucks like Joe Horn, man. I can't.
He was at home, and so now I think he was in Uruguay at the crib chilling.
Yeah, he was at the crib, not at the French crib. He was at the crib. Yeah. So he's got to do 14 days off. He got to do 14 days because he wasn't even in the continent.
Right, exactly. So that was going to be my point. Is he's in quarantine for probably at least another 10 days left on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not going to play in the Newcastle game.
The other two guys are prospects, man.
Then we got Telles from Porto, which is a left back.
That I think is the best move for you because Luke Shaw.
Can he play center back though?
But he can replace Luke Shaw. Because that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Yeah. And the shellacking that you guys took Mm-hmm. Luke Shaw is the weak link, man, and he's never been the same since he broke his leg. I think that was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he was a top talent. And
yeah, no. Luke Shaw is the deal.
Then he broke his leg, and he's never been the same. And
he got hurt last year, and it cost us the Europa to a certain extent because he wasn't there. We had B. Williams is good, but he's 19. He's a young, and he plays right back.
Right. So Tellus, I think it'll be a better option, but there's
and he's a playmaker too. He actually makes plays too.
Yeah.
On the offensive side.
And he's gonna be good for Cavani because Cavani doesn't create on his own. He needs somebody to provide the service and Tellus, and he got Pogba and all the other skill guys that y'all got. So I mean, he's gonna get plenty of opportunities.
How many goals does he get this year, man?
I don't think that he can play every game. I mean, well, nobody can play every game, but
yeah.
I just don't understand how he's going to fit, man. Somebody is going to be angry on your roster right now. I mean, Martial and Rashford, they both really probably want to play in that center position, but that is definitely where Cavani plays. Cavani,
he ain't playing nowhere else but center.
He's not going to play on a wing. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, well, Martial was really playing up top. Guys, right? So
he's up top.
Probably gonna be the guy that's upset.
I mean, what you saying 15? You think 15 maybe for the year?
15 goals. It's early enough. Yeah, I could see him 10 to 12. I think is more realistic. If you get 15 out of him, then you got a good return on investment.
Yeah, and then the Manchester United team is like, well, we still got Upamecano and Jadon Sancho maybe for January or next summer. Like, we need this now, baby. I'm looking at we may not even get out our group. I mean, we may not even win our group. We may not be third in our group to even go to Europa at this point.
Man, I think a lot of things are about to happen for you guys. And, you know, kind of like I had in some of our notes, man, even your legends now are starting to totally agree with me. You know, Roy Keane was saying that, the coach is on the hot seat, you know. Will he even survive?
But this ain't even on Ollie, though. This can't even be on you if you're not giving me the tools to do what I'm supposed to do.
Look at history, man. It's been the same thing. Yeah. They don't sign the right players. The fans get disgruntled, and then you can't fire all the players, so you got to fire a coach. So I think that's a legitimate concern that he could be fired before Christmas. And Patrice Evra, you know, the great left back for Manchester United, now retired. He's saying the same thing. He's saying that Woodward is absolutely a criminal and should be prosecuted for the lack of transfers. I mean, you know, talk about not having the tools. That's exactly right. Evra said that he's gotten calls from other teams' front office. Their front office is calling a retired player saying, will you call Manchester United's chief Woodward and ask him to answer the phone? Your guy cannot even be bothered to answer the phone to get a deal done. So
It does incompetence because we could have had Upamecano because he had like a clause. If we'd have got him before July, I mean, the end of July, we could have got him for 20-30 mil. Easy money. Easy money. I'd have sent Lindelof. He could have been working at the concession stand for nobody being there. And I'd have been fine with it. And I'll put B-Dub in there before I put Bailly in before Lindelof. Lindelof should never touch the field again. If we got Upamecano, never. Maguire doing too much, you know.
Your defense reminds me of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like the island of misfit toys. You know what I mean? It's like, like that's how your defenders are. You know, you got Wan-Bissaka, he can attack and he can defend, but, you know, his touches may be terrible. And then, you know,
he hustles, man. He does what he's supposed to do. He Dennis Rodman. That's all that's making is just lock down your side.
But I mean,
then he got to come and help Lindelof. Then he got to come help Lindelof.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, it's just a calamity of errors, man. And you know, I really do seriously don't think it's going to impact you guys. I'm starting to look at you guys as a 8 to 10 sort of finisher.
It could be. I mean, this Newcastle game go as bad as it could be. You could be seeing that potentially. Yeah. I mean, this next stretch, we have Newcastle, then we got PSG, then we got y'all, then we got RB Leipzig. Look here, man. I told a lot of people, I'd be happy with one win. I'd be.
That's probably a reasonable request. Yeah, man. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not. But the funny thing is, Manchester United come out and go hard on PSG. Like, that'd be the and then lose to Leipzig. Like, that's the type of thing that could happen, you know, in general. You know, Rashford's got his thing going back and forth with Mbappe on the low. You know, I could see them wanting to get up for that one game, and that'd be the one we win. We'll lose at Newcastle. We'll mess around and beat PSG, though, and then lose to Leipzig and lose to y'all.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and it's kind of like, you know, Pogba kind of is the attitude of your team, you know, where it's like.
But he's out here talking crazy, you know.
He want to shine when the bright lights are on, when all the eyes are on. He wants to perform and put on a show. But like you said, you know, cold, rainy night in Newcastle, he don't even want to take his sweatsuit off, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know about the drama that happened in the last game, man. You know, Bruno got into it with Harry Maguire and cussed him out. That's why he didn't even come out the tunnel.
I did hear about that. Yeah, man.
Bruno should be the captain, man. I don't know how Harry Maguire, I didn't understand how you just come directly on the squad and become a C when you weren't even a man when you were at, what was that, Crystal Palace before or Newcastle?
I thought he was on
Crystal Palace. He was on Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Crystal Palace.
Because him and Wan-Bissaka came from Crystal Palace.
I think he got a lot of cachet and got the captain's armband because of his position with England, with the national team. You know, being the young rock defender on that. And so, you know, it just kind of translates. You know, of course, it is the English Premier League at the end of the day. So they always want to, you know, put the captain's wristband on one of their own. And having an English talent is a big thing still. So,
and Manchester United's been big on, like, always keeping more English talent. We just start really mining the other parts of Europe and South America and Africa the last 10 years. Yeah. If you look at all those past Manchester United squads, 95% of them were English born and bred.
Yeah, but they always want to have a great white height, you know.
Yep.
Great
yep.
white hope, if possible. So that's really
I'm trying to think, have we had a black captain? I don't believe we've had a black captain. Was Patrice a captain? I'm trying to think.
He's had the captain's armband, you know, at certain times, but he was never the number one captain.
Yeah.
And I can go back even further, like Dwight York. You know, in the early 90s, I can remember him being, you know, wearing the captain's armband from time to time, but always being like the number two. You know, I'm not saying that there's any kind of race issue.
No. I'm not saying that.
It's just their preference. Just like, you know, just like certain teams in the NBA would prefer to have a homegrown talent, like having Kawhi Leonard on the Clippers being an LA kid is a little bit more cachet. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be rough, man, going through. I mean, we got some young prospects, but my thing is with Ali, you know, yeah, those dudes might be young and dope, but you may not be here for when they start balling.
He needs to win now, man. It needs to be stability at the club, but like you said, it's an ownership issue at this point, man.
And the sad thing is, though, he's in a messed up position, because if he does win, they're like, oh, well, we were good with what we have. But if he loses, you ain't got no job.
Man, it's still like, you know, good old boy network for him to even have that job. To
be honest. I agree.
You know what I mean? Only coaching experience he had was Malmo, a small team in, Sweden?
Yeah.
You know, that he was coaching. So, and I think he only coached there for a year or two.
Yeah, he was like two years or so.
Exactly.
But then he coached for an EPL team, too, and took them to who was it he coached for in League Two?
Oh, yeah, he coached in the league too for a minute?
I believe he did.
Well, if he did, maybe he does have a bit more coaching experience, what I thought, but.
Let me see.
It was a Norwegian club that he coached at.
Yeah, because he's from Norway, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me see where he coached at. I'm looking it up now. He was at previously. Cardiff.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's the League One club, I think.
Yeah, but he's only there for 30 games, though.
Okay, and that was a short period of time as well. So,
yeah.
Still, I mean, to get to a club the size of Manchester United, that's a very, very fast path. You know what I mean? That's a path.
So you're saying he's basically Wade Phillips?
in a lot of respects. Or who did Dallas Cowboys just fire? Garrett.
Jason Garrett.
Yeah, Jason Garrett, like, you know, where he was basically the owner's son. You know, I mean, it's all about who you know. You know what I mean? Keep these jobs.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle for us. I'm not going to cry no more. You know, I'm not. I mean, I'm going to support. I'm gonna, you know, watch the games. They're off this week. Next week we have Newcastle. But I'm not gonna cry no more, man.
There's just no more need to be talking about them Big Willie style. They're just another club, you know, just another club.
So right now, until they prove people, you know better.
Otherwise,
agree. Let's get into this Ozil thing, man. Is he the new Gareth Bale? Our Gareth Bale Award winner this week.
Gareth Bale Award, yes. Yeah, man. I came across this one, man. I said, you know, you always mention Gareth Bale, and you know, now that he's back,
he's an All American hero, man. All Wales hero. He's similar to I look to him as what was our homeboy that played for the Hawks? That got all that bread. He actually balled in the G League, though. I mean, not G League, in the Big Three, and got back in the league. He got all that paper, though. Oh, what is his name? Oh man, what is his name? he reminds me because he just getting money.
I thought you were gonna say somebody like Bobby Bonilla, you know, the Met.
Oh yeah, well Bobby Bonilla was actually a good player at one point, man.
He was a great player, but he's still getting checks from them to this day, and he's been retired for 25 years.
That's a
good contract.
Man, what is his name, man? I can't remember this dude's name now. This is going to trip me out, man. But he got money, though, man. He made big, big money. He was on Atlanta for a long time. Then he went to New Jersey. I can't remember dude's name now, man. But it'll come to me. But go ahead with your story, though, man.
But, yeah, so Mesut Ozil is, you know, who I nominate for the award this week. And, you know, Mesut has been a hell of a player, you know, in the past. He's German. He's been on a lot of those very, very successful German national teams. And, you know, he was brought to Arsenal because he really plays that Arsenal way, you know, that tic-tac passing, you know, unlock defenses with his passing, creative type. And, you know, they signed him to some crazy money. You know, we're always talking about these salaries. He's making $350,000 a week. And what they're paying him to do is to sit on the bench in a foreign country. He's German, hanging out in England. He never kicks a ball. And his most recent contribution to the team is that, you know, since all the stadiums are locked down right now, Arsenal said, why are we paying our mascot? You know, there's no fans to entertain.
That's right. They did let the mascot go.
The mascot's name is Gunnar Soros. He looks like a Tyrannosaurus. And, so Mesut said, you know, he's making $350,000 a week. The mascot makes $27,000 a year. So Mesut said, you know, I'll go ahead and pay off the mascot salary so the team ain't got to worry about it since he's making all that.
So they didn't let him go. And he's back. Because at first they was saying he was gone.
Yeah, Mesut brought him back.
Oh, dang. Look at that. He's like,
Hey, that is a contribution to the team. You know what I mean? He said he heard about it and he got plenty of bread. So,
I mean, $27,000, that's what, a quarter of a week?
$350,000. He makes that probably on Monday. You know what I mean?
Go and throw that man, throw him $100,000 real quick because he out there, you know, putting his family on the line, coming out for COVID. You know, like.
Man, that's absolutely nuts, man.
Yeah, like, so, shout out to Ozil, man. He is sitting a bit. It's Joe Johnson I'm thinking about, man.
Oh, yeah. He did. He got, like, one of them Supermax.
He got two Supermaxes. Mm. Not one, but two.
Okay. And he
got caught, like, man. He got, like, 120 twice, dog.
I remember him being good, but he was never, like, superstar. He was just, like,
cool, but he got 120. He was paid higher than LeBron at one point, dog.
Get your money, young man. Get your money.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you, man. You're an All-American hero to me, Joe Johnson. So next up, man, this Pogba situation, man. We can jump back into this. At this point, man, I'm comfortable with him leaving, man.
Wow. Straight like that.
At this point, we could
this
take
him away. This is supposedly one of the best midfielders in the world.
But he takes off so many games. He's be so disinterested. You know, I mean, he's the best, one of the best midfielders, but getting subbed off in the 54th minute. Like, I mean, why are we paying you like this? Van de Beek could come in his spot and then score a goal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like to put down any brother doing anything getting his paper. Right. But I'm just saying, if you really want Press to go back to Juventus or to Real, yo, God bless you.
Shine on, God bless you, man.
Let us get Diablo back. Let's go ahead and just trade you for Diablo, and let's just call it square.
Wow, that's incredible, man. I mean, you know, they say Pogba is one of the top midfielders in the world. Creative, he's won everything. World Cup winner. You know what I mean? He's won pretty much everywhere he's ever went. And so now, like you said, the rumor is he wants to go to Spain, La Liga, and had that Real Madrid experience. And you can't blame anybody for that. You know, that's like wanting to play for the Yankees. You know what I mean? The history, you know what I mean? And all the pomp and circumstance that comes with that. So, yeah, you know, I can understand that, but I would definitely try to hold him. I think that Pogba's a major building block and a great influence on your team if you can mentally get him plugged in. And I think that's the right coach, having the right talent around him, you know, the kind of guys that are going to push him. And
I mean, because Bruno pushes him. He became a better player with Bruno showing up because he was like, it's not all on me. And, you know, but is this guy this inch? And maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something internally in the team. Because I'd say this, though. Ali's going to be gone before he is. I'll say that. But, like, he's gone before him.
Yeah.
We're going to go to another coach before we let him go. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, and I think he does perform well when the new coach shows up, man. But like you said, man, your guy's hit or miss. You never know if he's going to show up or not.
And like I said, he'll mess around and get two goals against PSG. Like, because just because it's on, like, you know, we out here. I'm on CBS Network. It's a big game. The world literally is watching. They think we can't beat PSG.
And I'm still not sold on Van de Beek. I mean, I know he scored his little goal. I saw that. But, man, I really don't think he's the right talent level for the
club. But he doesn't have to be talent level. He just plays his spot. I don't need you to be All-American. You know what I'm saying? We got a front line of Greenwood, Martial, Rashford, you know, Bruno, you know. We don't need you to do that a lot, you know. You know, and Matt is out there. Maddox is out there trying to relive his dreams. Him and Matt out there trying to relive their dreams and hold on. And maybe Cavani can make it have a 30-man up club going on where they all just get together and go to the 30 and up club. Remember when our parents was like 30, they go to the – y'all younger listeners, y'all remember in the U.S. clubs, there used to be this thing called 30 and up clubs.
Yeah.
Unless you was 30.
Man. That's
maybe they can start a new spot, the 30 and up club, because that's what we got going on that spot. But we have some youth coming. But let's jump into this Champions League, man, the draw, man. Let me just pull it up real quick, and we can just run through it quite fast and just kind of see what we kind of think about the draw, man. Pull it up now. All right. This Champions League, it was interesting. I mean, let's just go Group A. Atletico Madrid, Bayern, Lokomotiv, RB Salzburg. What you think?
Oh, man. Run that one more time. I'm trying to
Atletico Madrid, Bayern, Lokomotiv, Moscow, RB Salzburg. And I believe they are out of the Austrian league.
What was the Spanish club again? The first one?
Atletico.
Oh, yeah, I got to go with Atletico. I think they
over Bayern?
Is it Bayern Munich or?
It's Bayern Munich. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Munich. Yeah, definitely Bayern Munich, man. Shit.
You think Atletico can give them a little bit? They're going to press them a little bit?
I think that's the next best piece of competition in that group. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, so that's a two-man group, basically, like kind of in a way. All right, Group B. Monticello, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, and Shakhtar.
Oh, definitely Real Madrid. And
I think Shakhtar could maybe surprise some cats, man, because they went to the semifinals of Europa, man.
Definitely. They always have some good talented players and some good Brazilians. They scout Brazil extremely well. But I mean, you know, this is kind of a bit of a stacked group because Internacional and always mouthful Mönchengladbach. I mean, they can be dangerous on their day too.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's a. I mean, I guess I can go traditionally and say Real and Inter, but I can see Inter. Inter's got the rest haven for all our bad players too. So like, they got what, five ex Manchester United players and they starting 11 right now.
Talk about 30 and up clubs. That's part of. And for the earlier email for the, you know, the guy was trying to figure out how to select a team. Like that's another storyline. You know, of Inter, they definitely you know, buy discounted 30-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they used to be fly though, man. Inter was like fly for a long time, but then they get into like
Italy was a big money league once upon a time. I mean, salaries and the kind of money that they spend in Italy has been dropping dramatically over the years. But yeah, once upon a time they spent
is
big
it is
money
it what so what is the cause of that? That them just falling off like that, that Serie A falling off like that.
You know, I think it was really more the success of the Premier League, and the Premier League, you know, just was marketed better and grew so fast, you know what I mean? And the style of play was so interesting that it
I mean, and
so
you, I think Premier League was the only one on NBC. They were the only one getting U.S. I mean, at least for us U.S. watchers.
Yeah.
You couldn't even see Messi play. You could only see Premier League games. At least on before this big packages and all the, you know, things we have now, where now you can see almost any game if you want to now, you know, through streaming. But before, even if you had this regular cable and had the extended sports package, you weren't going to be able to get a lot of Serie A games.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when owners and people spending money signing the checks decide where the best player and the best talent's going to be, then now, you know, it just suctions off talent. You know, I mean, that's really what the Premier League is doing.
All right, Group C, Man City, Olympiacos, Marseille, and Porto.
Definitely Man City, and, you know, I'm kind of torn between Marseille and Porto.
Yeah, Marseille was kind of balling this past year.
Yeah, and I know they can be dangerous on their day, but also Porto has always been very dangerous in, you know, that Portuguese league, so. Yeah. I never
it's them in sporting. It's them in sporting basically run that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean, they're almost a mirror image of La Liga, you know what I mean? Real and Barcelona.
All right, Group D, we have Ajax, Atalanta, Liverpool, and Midtjylland.
That's a Danish team, that
Midtjylland,
yeah. Definitely, you know, got to go Liverpool and then, you know, Ajax, man, for me. But
oh, really? You don't think the Atalanta boys going to make it out?
That's what I was going to say is that those two could flip-flop, but I want to say Ajax is going to show well.
All right. I say the weakest group, Group E, Chelsea.
Oh, stop.
Chelsea, Krasnodar, Rennes and Sevilla.
Oh, it definitely
Chelsea and Sevilla. The thing is, this is what I'm saying to a certain extent that it should have been. Y'all shouldn't have drew Sevilla. The winners of the Europa League should not be in y'all group. They should be in a weak. I mean, your group is weak as hell on the bottom half, no doubt. But I'm saying, like, you shouldn't draw the winners of the NIT in your first round.
Man, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, Rennes is in League One. That's the French league. And then I'm not even sure, and I will admit that this is a weak link, the Krasnodar. Where are they from? Is that Russian club?
They are Russian.
Russian, okay. I know I've seen that logo before, but, yeah, they shouldn't give us too many problems. But Chelsea and Sevilla should have an easy
one. All right, Group F, Dortmund, Club Brugge, Lazio, and Zenit.
I'm definitely going with Dortmund and Lazio.
Yeah, Lazio. And Imbolé, he's out there killing it because he was all the best scorer in Europe, right, this year, right? Past year, right?
Yeah,
or was
that's
it,
true.
Or was it Lewandowski?
Fact check that.
I think it's him, though. I think it's him.
He was right there, though. Either way, he's right there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But, You know, Zenit, that's the Russian club, man, and they always dangerous. You know what I mean?
How so many Russian clubs qualifying? Like, there's a lot. It's three Russian clubs that qualified. I wonder if some of them went through the qualifying playoffs and went through, ran through that.
Track those paths, but yeah, I see three.
Wow.
Yeah, I see three.
Wow. Group G, Barcelona. This is my favorite group. Barcelona, okay. Juventus, Dynamo, and Fernet. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Fernet Barrels.
Man, whoever they are, they're not going to be around for long. I can tell you that. That's all I can tell you about that, man. I think.
He said whoever they are.
Yeah, Juventus and Barcelona for me will do easy work. And Dynamo Kiev, I mean, they're a dangerous club too in their day. And I would never count them out.
I mean, this is almost must-see TV. That was almost like you almost set this up for some good TV. With Barcelona, Juventus, you going to get them twice?
Yeah. Like, home and away? Yeah, I want to see that.
Y'all said this one, you're like, oh, you just set up this bracket.
Yep.
Last group, the group of death, Istanbul, Man U, PSG, and RB Leipzig. This is going to be rough, man. This is rough.
PSG for sure. And I'm going to go with Leipzig, you know.
I'm not mad at you. I'm picking the same way as of right now.
Wow, that's big of you, man. Very mature of you, man. You know,
yeah, I mean,
coming back to reality.
This is the thing. My thing is, we just need to we need to sweep Istanbul. We can't be bullshitting around with them. and if we can split PSG and RB, we're through. That's all our path is. Man. Now, I don't know if this is that sounds simpler on paper than it is in application.
Margin of error is very slim for you, man.
Very slim. And I don't understand how Leipzig got put down in this. If you look at any other ones, you could have threw them in that and switched out Marseille or Olympicos for Leipzig. Leipzig shouldn't have been in the third position.
Based on what I saw in your last game, even the Istanbul Basaka here, I think is a challenging game for you guys, honestly.
It's gonna be an uphill road battle for my Manchester United boys. But at the same time, if we're going to prove it, we got to prove it on the field, you know. Hold up real quick, man. All right. So, no, it's going to be a pro battle, man. So, the next one on the docket is Barca maybe better now with all this youth they have on their squad.
Yeah, I think kind of like we said in the last show, man, the rebuild is officially underway. You know, you see them positioning young talent. So yeah, it should be exciting to watch.
Could this kid Messi though? If he looks around, he's like, okay, I got some young runners with me around me. Could that keep Mars? He already done bought a crib in Man City and already Man City.
I think it's over, man. I think it's
it's
over.
It's just the water. Like, it's too much drama.
It's formalities. Let me go through the easy exit. Let them squeeze out their last bit of cash, you know. But I think it's obvious. It's a youth movement with Suarez leaving. You know what I mean? So,
If Vidal's gone, they've lost. What, Arthur is gone? They traded Arthur. They got a young squad. De Jong. What's the brother from Spain that's been balling, man? I can't remember his name now.
And then the youngster they just bought with Dez, something.
I want to bring that up, man. That's a U.S. That's a U.S. guy.
Yeah.
And I guess what you call it was trying to get him to play for the Netherlands national team, and he's like, no, I'm gonna play for the U.S. And we can jump over there. This U.S. squad, like, of course, it's on paper. It ain't application is. You know, is different than this is the best collection of players U.S. has ever had. I'm willing to put my stamp on that this is the best collection of talent we've ever had.
I think maybe best collection of athletes I'm still concerned about experience and skill, but athletically, we should challenge some folks on pure athleticism alone. And, you know, this is one of the things we've been talking about, seeing us, you know, the system spit out some true athletes and take advantage of, you know, these real athletes that the country produces in all these other sports. So, yeah, I totally agree with you.
So what would make you a believer? If they go win in Mexico City, would that make you a believer then?
Like, that'd make me a big-time believer. Yeah, especially if fans are back in the stadium and that kind of, you know, environment. Yeah, if you can handle that, I'll say, yeah, we got something.
It's something cracking, though. You go win in Mexico City. I mean, Netherlands just lost in Mexico early this week.
I believe it. I believe it. And, I mean, they keep reloading, too. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah, it's going to take a dominance of CONCACAF for a while. Then I'll start to say, okay, yeah, we got something.
All right, a last topic, man. African nations. I've seen a lot of brothers on random squads that I would never believe are from these countries. I seen, and not like a brother where you like, oh, his pops was there from the military, or maybe an African dude migrated there and his son is biracial. I'm talking about straight up just brothers, and you're on the Norwegian national team or the Swedish national team. Or I mean, there's play. I mean, the Luxembourg national team, like, and these are cats that are starting and balling. Is this showing the lack of development in Africa, or is it that the best players, Africa will be better with those players being homegrown and and they're going out, so that makes it not as showing Africa developing more on the football end. If that makes sense in my question.
Yeah, I think the question makes sense. I mean, number one, I definitely agree. You know, it's starting to be something that's even more and more prevalent, but it's something that I've seen and taken attention and note to for a long time. You're absolutely right. Like when you see like a Teddy from Norwich City, you know, he was playing on Switzerland's national team, I believe, some northern Scandinavian country. And it was like, clearly he has two African parents, you know what I mean? And yeah. You know, you start researching some of these people's backgrounds and it's just like, it feels like the poaching of the continent of Africa is not complete. It's just happening in athletics at this point. And there's two sides to every coin. So I want to say the Europeans, they know that they're not able to develop these high level athletes to compete. So they're willing to poach from Africa. But also within Africa, you still have a lot of corruption, you know, in the regular political realm. And that corruption always trickles down into the athletics because they're getting government funding. You know, it's being held in a stadium that's government owned, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And so I remember like Togo, for example, a couple of players from their team was like, I'm not playing for the national team. You know, I'm not even getting my national team paycheck. We didn't even have a national team.
Oh, wow.
You know, so there's a lot of corruption and things that go on behind the scenes on these African clubs as well, where, yeah, if Norway's coming and, you know, they're going to do some extra things for you and your family and get some visas and some, you know, some passports for some other folks. Your kids get to grow up with that dual nationality or, you know, passport now. That's unlocking resources for a lot of people. So, I mean, there's a lot of different angles, not just what happens on the field, but like bigger picture, you know what I mean? So I think that's the reason why we see it.
Yeah, so Fati is the one I'm thinking about from Barcelona that's been balling. But he's on the Spanish squad. He's on Spanish national team.
Example.
I mean, and he's got like two brothers that are on like the Spanish national squad. And like they all immigrated when they were like nine. So it's
Raheem Sterling is a good example. You know, he's playing on the English team where he should really be a Jamaican. You know what I mean? So he should really be playing for the Caribbean.
I actually get that one a little bit more because Jamaica and UK have had that kind of bridge because of, you know, the colonization and everything. And like a lot of people from Jamaica got to England and London particularly because I believe that them and Toronto had a shortage of laborers and they both just gave out free visas I think in the 60s and 70s, so that's why you have a lot of like Jamaicans there in Toronto and in England as well. So I'm not surprised with Raheem Sterling.
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, that's spot on. No debate there. And I do give it a little bit more legs. But, I mean, I think even the way that he speaks and the culture that's in his home is more affiliated with Jamaica.
It's interesting, man. I mean, I was looking at some of the international game friendlies. I'm like, yo, I get it if it's somebody biracial and you're like something on Denmark. You're like, okay, I get it. But like Germany, Sané, get it. But I believe their right back is and their left back are two brothers. And it's like, hold on, like.
Man, you know, I mean, you have to look at things with a real lens. I think you're right. A lot of things that go on in Africa, nobody wants to dump on Africa. I mean, you know, it's always love for the motherland. I mean, you know what I mean? That's before everything. But at the same time, like, we have to be realistic. There's so much corruption, extortion, even them traveling back and forth. Like, you know, look at Aubameyang. Yeah, I think he's Gambian, if I'm not mistaken.
Gabonese. He's from Gabon.
Okay, yeah, Gabonese. But, I mean, you know how dangerous it is for him to be going back and forth and, you know what I mean, the kind of security that it requires. Because
I believe his brother's playing for somebody. Like, his brother won't play for Gabon.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in Togo, they had gunmen jump on the team bus. You know what I mean?
So, like, hey, so you're getting security for me? And I can paper in the Spanish league. I can't. This is not for me.
I'm just saying, you playing for Finland, it's a different experience. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, so do you think, I guess this is interesting, even a piggyback question of leading us out. Is it the less corrupt the African nation is, the better their squad is? Is there a correlation between that?
I don't know about that now.
I'm just saying, you look at like Nigeria's and ball for a long time, they have a pretty good, I mean, I'm not saying it's not corrupt there at all, because I mean, they had their issues, but they're pretty solid on their structure governmental wise in a general basis. Senegal is the same way. South Africa's definitely set up well, you know.
I'm not sure that to be true, because I think Cameroon is.
Oh, but yeah, it's Cameroon just getting through because they just got athletes. It's like we just rolling the ball.
They've done well on the pitch, and I think that their government's pretty unstable, you know. So, I mean, I'm not sure it's a correlation, you know. South Africa, you know. Is that stable? What do you call that with apartheid and everything that's been happening?
This is post-apartheid, I'm saying, post-apartheid.
So I'm just saying the last 20 years they had a World Cup and they qualified for multiple World Cups, you know what I mean? So,
they haven't qualified for any besides that one, right? Is that the only one they qualified?
I think they qualified for one other World Cup.
Okay. Yeah. And then we have Ghana. Ghana's a nice, stable spot. Very now, stable.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about unstable places that have had good –
but you brought up one. I'm trying to figure out, besides Cameroon, name me another unstable African nation that has balled out.
Well, Liberia was pretty good for a minute. Okay. George Weah, you know, and I mean, they had a civil war going on. Senegal, you know, yeah. I mean, they're pretty unstable, I would say.
You know? So do you think, the path is that basically we need to get our government set up correctly before we can – worry about
that always helps. I think that probably helps in everything, you know. But I think there's a, you know, like you say, man, the continent is going to produce athletes and talent no matter what. So you can always strike lightning, you know what I mean?
All right, man. Last up, your Chelsea boys, man. How you feeling about them? I know people have been asking on the Twitters about how you've been feeling about them. Have you up, down? You right where we're supposed to be?
You know, I've been hot and cold, man. Like, I thought I might be talking like you, to be honest. But no, I'm not going to talk like you. I'm still very boastful, very confident. I like what the club has done, spending money. I need the manager to make things work, you know, push and pull. I would like to see some consistency come to the starting 11. I think we got the goalkeeper and the rock. I like the defense. And that was another thing I wanted to slide in on the show real quick is the defense at Chelsea is speaking French because you got Thiago, although he's Brazilian, you know, speaks Portuguese.
Those are similar languages. That
he's playing in PSG for so long. His French is excellent. Zuma's, you know, he is French. Talk about African, you know. that claims, you know, a European nationality, claims French on his passport. He obviously speaks it. And then Azpilicueta, he's a Spanish guy, but he speaks French very well. French very well as well, because his wife is from France.
Okay.
So, there are, and then the new goalkeeper, Mendy.
You know, yeah, Mendy's African. French.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he speaks it as well. So that's how they're communicating, and said, you know, it's helping them kind of settle and mesh. So I think, you know, speaking French might be able to take Chelsea's defense and fix it, lock it down, keep it nice and organized. And that's what we need, man, to show out in this Premier League this year.
Last up, man, I just thought about it before, is Partey going to Arsenal, man, at the last the last couple of hours of the transfer window. Like,
that's big, man. That's absolutely big. That makes them a lot more dangerous. I've been hearing a lot of hype on him, and I saw a couple of highlight videos. He looks like the real deal, man.
Oh, Partey is the deal. He was the one helping out. I'm surprised Atletico let him go.
Yeah, I think he solves a lot of problems for Arsenal, you know, definitely.
Yeah, like, I'm like, man, like, this whole league, and we out here signing goddamn Cavani, man. Like,
but, like, yeah, that's a prime signing, man.
Yeah, well, man, thank y'all for listening, as always. We finna get off here, watch this game, and hopefully Miami can extend this out. I can have some more days at NBA, even though I have no dog in this fight, but I just like to see some more games. thank y'all for listening, man. All the love and feedback, man. Like, people really been getting down with the show, and we will be back next week. Hopefully, you know, Manchester United can get somebody off a bus or something and just sign a Sancho can just show up as the masked man, like in wrestling. But he had the mask wrestler come in, like, you don't know who he is. He just show up.
You're a wild boy.
All right,
yeah, man. Definitely appreciate everybody listening. Man, it's been another good show. D, till next time.
All right, man. Peace.